Headline.
Brazil's former vice president, Michel Temer, who played a key role in ousting his former ally, President Dilma Rousseff, from power, formed his new cabinet despite ongoing mass protests against the major political reshuffle, which has been seen by many as a coup. WikiLeaks immediately released documents after he took power, which claimed to prove that Temer used to be an informant for the United States, adding further credibility to the claims that Washington helped engineer the latest regime change events in Brazil. On top of that, the interim Temer administration is reportedly planning to announce a privatization plan that might result in national assets being bought up by wealthy Western investors, undoing years of left-wing political tradition in an instant. However, none of this is being done without resistance, since Rousseff supporters have pledged to take to the streets in opposition, signaling that Brazil's political crisis is far from finished. Because of the suspicious circumstances behind his meteoric rise and the soap opera-like political drama that he's presiding over, Michel Temer is our Man of the News this week.
I think all of us would have agreed that several weeks back, most of the world audience had very little knowledge of Michel Temer. He was keeping low profile. Maybe he was known in Brazil, but not for the world audience, unlike President Rousseff, whom we've seen in international forums, who was a face of Brazilian foreign politics. Point number one, what I want to say about that emergence or skyrocketing of Michel Temer to the height of Brazilian politics, which was done in a non-democratic way, obviously, that those problems of Brazil are far from being over, to say the least, since if you look at this with statements which are made by Brazil's Workers' Party, they still insist that the country is experiencing a coup, and those statements are sounding quite credible. And as you know, they're planning mass anti-Temer rallies. One of them is scheduled for June 1, so it means that next week there will be another outburst of popular anger in Brazil. And it seems that Brazil would emerge only as a split nation, because we see right and left. And I think that what's happening in Brazil is adding to the debate where not only Brazil is heading, but how the pendulum between right and left is swinging in Latin America as a whole. Look at Venezuela. Look at other countries. So it seems that Latin America is turning into another battleground between two rivalry ideas and strategies of development.
Yeah, very interesting observation there, Sergei. So we're going to discuss this topic with our in-studio guest, Mr. Ivan Timofeyev. He's Director of Programs at the Russian Council for International Relations. Can you shed some light on what Sergei had just mentioned about the pendulum switching from the left to the right in Latin America, and potentially how this all relates to American foreign policy? We see changes in Argentina, Venezuela to an extent, now an actual regime change in Brazil. What's going on here?
Well, actually, I think that we should approach this pendulum in terms of, more fundamental economic trends. So economy really matters. We had quite an extensive economic growth in 2000s after the millennium, and Brazil was one of these BRICS countries with high growing economy. So now it's not a matter of fact. So Russia is not the only country which is in stagnation. This is also a matter for Brazil. And of course, this has extremely significant consequences for the left in the country, because they are no more able to supply their internal policy. So it's good to be left when you have an economic growth. It's much harder when you have a stagnation. So now there is a chance for the rights to take an opportunity, and actually they got significant positions in the parliament, and they used this opportunity to attack the president from different sides. And as for the United States, of course, it's also a big strategic issue about the regaining of influence in the countries of South America. And of course, this is a chance to increase the U.S. relation, the U.S. influence there. But we should not overestimate the role of Washington. We should not be too much conspiracy theorists. There is a huge amount of internal problems. So, and the dynamics is really nonlinear. It will be very hard to be a social engineer, foreign social engineer in this situation.
Okay, thank you for telling us that. Mr. Timofeyev, we appreciate it. We have another guest on the line to tell us more. That's Mr. Victor Heifetz. He's director at the Center for Ibero-American Studies in St. Petersburg.
Red Line.
Hello, Mr. Heifetz. How are you today?
Well, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Can you tell us where Brazil is headed? What's going on and what's to come?
Well, we should divide two main areas, the domestic one and the foreign one. Domestically, I don't really think that the problems of Brazil will finish soon, and Brazil has no chances, as according to my opinion, to recover soon. Even with the new Minister of Economics, Mr. Meirelles, who was President of Brazilian Central Bank under Lula. But another area very important for new interim government is the international sphere, the foreign policy. I consider this area as the only one which is able to bring a kind of internal peace to Brazil. It's not a guarantee. We cannot guarantee that foreign policy will bring this peace, but it's the only chance to do it, because Brazil still would have a lot of problems the next 2 or 3 years before elections.
Yeah, I have to say that's a very intriguing proposal, and it makes me want to ask you some further follow-up questions on that, such as how are the political developments going to change Brazil's foreign policy, and particularly as it relates to not only BRICS, but also Mercosur?
Well, the new Minister of Foreign Affairs, Mr. José Serra, has already marked some future shifts in Brazilian foreign policy. There would be less politics in this foreign policy and more economical benefits, so that there would be more relations, economic relations with trade partners such as the United States, European Union, but also BRICS countries. I should remember that China is the top Brazilian trade partner since the last 5 years. And Mr. Serra has already said that Brazil still has a lot of interest in BRICS, especially in China and India. So this priority of Brazilian foreign policy wouldn't change seriously despite the turn in Brazilian internal politics. Brazil would have less partnership with countries like Venezuela and Bolivia and Ecuador, so-called Bolivarian countries in Latin America, but it still would have good relations, according to me, with some left-wing countries like Uruguay and Chile. It would be based on market economy principles and not on political principles.
Okay, well, thank you very much for sharing your forecast with us, Mr. Heifetz. We really appreciate it. So we're going to switch gears, and we're going to go actually right to Brazil itself to bring in a local guest to explain this further, and that's Mr. Angelo Sergio. He's a Brazilian political analyst and professor of history at the University of Sao Paulo.
Red Line.
All right, Mr. Sergio, what's the general sentiment like in Brazil about Rousseff's temporary ouster and Temer's interim administration? What are people saying about it, and how do you think they feel right now?
Brazil is divided because the government of Dilma Rousseff at the very end was unpopular because of the economic crisis. The international economic crisis hit Brazil a little belatedly and coincided with her term in office. So she became unpopular with time. But there are many people also who don't agree with the impeachment procedures. They think it was not done completely according to the law. So Brazil is divided. Dilma Rousseff by herself is very unpopular at the moment, even, let's say, among the left. You know, because she was taking some conservative measures in the end to try to fix the situation. But because many people feel that these impeachment procedures were not done in the right way, some people support her in this battle, in the impeachment process.
Okay, what I'd like to ask you is just if you could please expand a little bit more on that. You know, you mentioned that, she might have been impeached in an illegal way or an unethical way. So if this is the case, why do some people think that this happened? Like, why would some political actors want to impeach her and get her out of power? What are people saying about that?
Well, one thing that's very important to understand is that in Brazil, unlike in the United States, for example, in some countries where the impeachment process is a purely political process, in Brazil, according to the law, the impeachment process has to be a juridical political process. That means the impeachment is conducted by the Congress, but at the heart of the accusations, there must be a crime, what they call crime of responsibilities, a juridical crime. And most people, well, I wouldn't say most people, it's kind of controversial, but most people would agree that the actual accusations against Dilma Rousseff were actually technicalities. It was not like even big crimes. It was just like budgetary, like fidgeting with the budget. But even that, some people consider that she didn't do these things illegally because they were legal by the time she did. You know, it was very technicalities about the budget. So people say if these technicalities, which some people don't even consider very serious to be a reason for impeachment, even if so, at the time when she did them, they were legal according to the law, she cannot be blamed for that. So she cannot be impeached. Without the crime, there should be no impeachment. But the problem is that since the judges were from the Congress, they judged her politically because there were many grievances against her, especially from the other opposition parties. So that's why there's this divide. Some people saying that impeachment process was illegal because, you know, if a judge was judging there, probably he wouldn't condemn her for that. But others say that, oh, no, the general situation should allow for impeachment, like a political impeachment.
Okay, yeah, you know, and you mentioned a lot of controversy in Brazil and how people are divided. So this makes me want to transition to the next question about how people view Michel Temer, because, you know, as I'm sure you're aware, WikiLeaks revealed that he used to be a U.S. informant. So how is that shaping domestic opinion about his temporary government?
Well, if Dilma Rousseff is not popular, he is even less popular because it's like he's 3% in the polls because he's considered to be a representative of the old politics. You know, Dilma Rousseff came with the Workers' Party, PT, with Lula. It was kind of a change to the new, to the left, and it was very popular in the beginning, especially with Lula. And Michel Temer, he's viewed as completely representative of the old politics. It was a compromise that Lula and Dilma Rousseff had to make because the Workers' Party voting by itself was not enough to govern Brazil. So they had to draw the other big party in Brazil, which is PMDB. It's one of the largest parties, but it's very heterogeneous. It doesn't have a precise ideology. It's always in power. It always makes alliances with the parties in power. And Michel Temer is from PMDB. But so he's not popular at all because he's viewed as the typical representative of the old politics.
Okay, yeah, this has been very informative. So I want to ask you the last question, Angelo, and that's about how you think Temer's administration will handle Brazil's relations with BRICS, but also with Mercosur, because, you know, a couple Mercosur members, including Venezuela, of course, they're not too happy about what happened. Other Latin American countries in general, they don't agree with what had happened with Rousseff. And, you know, many people abroad are wondering, how will BRICS, you know, how will Brazil relate to BRICS now? I mean, what's it going to do? So what do you think going forward, how will this interim administration impact in international affairs?
Yeah, I think there will be a little backpedaling, both with BRICS and also a little with Mercosur, because those were two fronts where the Lula's and Dilma Rousseff's diplomacy was strong. You know, they geared towards BRICS and towards Mercosur. And Michel Temer, like I said, he's a representative of the old politics in Brazil, which was more aligned with the United States. So I think there will be a little shift towards back to this old diplomacy, more aligned with the United States. And there will be a little backpedaling, especially with BRICS, because BRICS were taking also some political stances, and I think there will be a little backpedaling on that front.
Okay, Mr. Seguillo, thank you very much. I mean, you're right there on the ground. Thank you for telling us how it is. Thank you. Right now, we're just about all out of time, so we're going to have to wrap up the program here. Seguillo, it looks like, you know, we have Temerin. He's not popular. He does signify a shift. He's representative of many other strong undercurrents that are not fully controlled by the U.S., but may be influenced to a certain extent. And it seems like Brazil, as a member of BRICS, is very confused right now, and we have to see what it decides to do in the end.
I think we have to agree that what is happening in Brazil looks like a coup. Of course, that's purely domestic issue. Brazil is at the crossroads. What we want to see from Brazil, so that its foreign policy should not be a subject of misinterpretation, it should be a subject of consensus. Let us not forget that BRICS starts from the letter B. And that's very important.
Yes, you're definitely right, Sergey. With that, we're going to thank all of our guests for joining our discussion today, beginning with our in-studio guest, Mr. Ivan Timofeyev. He's Director of Programs at the Russian Council for International Relations. Mr. Victor Heifetz, Director at the Center for Ibero-American Studies in St. Petersburg. And Mr. Angelo Sergio, Brazilian political analyst and professor of history at the University of Sao Paulo. And with this, we end this week's edition of Redline, brought to you by Radio Sputnik. It was presented by me, Andrew Kurepko.
And Sergei Strokhan.
Thank you for staying with us. Goodbye and take care.
Take care and goodbye.